We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. We'll talk to James White about 11:45 or thereabouts. We'll talk to Trey Flowers at noon. Rob Ninkovich will join us here in the studio at Gillette from noon to 1. I'll be curious, and you probably got to do this some last week, and if so, I'll be repeating stuff if I go into it again. But I'm curious about his workouts with Edelman. He was a lot more involved than he made it sound when we were first talking to him about it.
We'll see what he says. But Edelman, that's been a pleasant surprise. I thought there'd be a little bit more
rust. He looked like
rust.
He hit the ground running, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think, again, we said this at the time, but the four-game suspension kind of worked out in his favor. Like, I know he was on the field prior to that. He was in some of the preseason games. But to have even a little extended time to recover and come back, and 2 weeks looks like, you know, you never would have thought this was a guy coming off of an ACL injury.
And, of course, the Red Sox now head for Houston, game three tomorrow at 5:09, I think, is first pitch. And this series is tied at one. One of the fascinating things for me to watch is Alex Cora's game plan with Alex Bregman. Because
the guy's on base all the time, but no hits.
He's had 10 trips to the plate through the first two games. The team has walked him six times and hit him once.
Unbelievable. On base percentage of 700.
And his batting average is zero.
Zero. No hits. 700 on base. But what's also helped is they've done a pretty good job on, you know, Jose Altuve, who hits in front of him. So it's not like every time Bregman walks, you're pushing Altuve to second. You know, you're not doing that because they've done a nice job on him. But Bregman had the best season of all the guys on the Astros. Now, George Springer, we know, is a great postseason player. He's a great player overall, but he's a great postseason player. Jose Altuve's been quiet, and Carlos Correa is still clearly not 100%. So those are the guys. And then, you know, Marwin Gonzalez or Gurriel, those guys can get to you too. But Bregman is their best hitter. And they were asking David Price prior to game two, you know, like who's the guy on the other side. And he eventually named like a bunch of Astros. But the first guy he mentioned was Bregman. Like, first guy is Alex Bregman, who doesn't look like much. Same with Altuve. You got a couple of little guys up there, but they can both hit the crap out of it. So, yeah, Bregman has just walked a ton. I think he's getting a little frustrated. But,
good.
But to his credit, he's not swinging outside of the zone, and he's just – it's like a Barry Bonds-like on-base percentage right now.
I was listening to you and Mutt yesterday, as I do every Sunday morning.
Good breakdown.
And you were doing a lot of baseball yesterday for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yep.
You were both convinced this series was over. I think in Mutt's case, he said maybe a gentlemanly sweep, in other words, five.
Could be a gentleman sweep, yeah.
Do you still feel that way? Do you still feel is a five-game series?
I thought six all along, so I think five or six. I think the Astros are the better team. I think their rotation is better. I think their bullpen is better. And I think the lineups are pretty similar. Like, I really do. And so I think the Red Sox kind of fortunate. You know, they were able to get to Gerrit Cole, which was great to see. You know, their guys hit him around a little bit, and they scored on him. But I don't know what to make of Chris Sale going forward the rest of the way. I'm convinced Kimbrel's going to blow a save. Like, if they have a lead in the ninth inning and it's not three runs, I'm convinced in Houston Kimbrel's going to blow a save. And we still got to see.
I just felt better that he was throwing 99 last
night. No, that helps.
Which he did not in the previous appearance.
No, that's true. That was a mess. He couldn't throw strikes, and he wasn't throwing as hard. He was throwing hard last night, but still.
And he was dotting the top of the zone really nicely.
They had some good swings on him, though, so he makes me a bit nervous. Also, can Ian Kinsler maybe not play?
So here's, you think?
I have a weird...
That might be the worst swing I've seen a major leaguer ever take.
Just a brutal... He's like, I didn't go down looking. It's like, well, you should have.
It wouldn't have looked as bad if he had just left the bat on the shoulder.
I was really confused by it because, you know, batter versus pitcher is one of my favorite stats. It is not one of that coward Keith Law's favorite stats.
I heard that,
but
yeah.
Ian Kinsler had the biggest sample size against Gerrit Cole out of anybody on the Red Sox. And he was hitting 80. Not 800, he's hitting 80. He was like 2-for-25 going into last night. And I'm thinking, here's a good opportunity for Brock Holt, especially as a lefty going up against Cole the righty. Dallas Keuchel's pitching game three. He's a lefty. Maybe you want to alternate those guys. Now, it didn't matter. They ultimately won the game. But Ian Kinsler had some of the worst at-bats and just useless at-bats
last
night. One out
and the 0-2 pitch to Kinsler from Cole. Swung on and missed strike three. He made quick work of Kinsler.
Yeah, every time. Every time. I'm like, yeah, there's a track record there.
And by the way, I'm okay with Nunez being replaced at third by Rafael Devers.
Devers made a bunch of nice plays at third, which I'm convinced Nunez would have booted or thrown into the stands.
Nunez has that aggravating tendency to make a spectacular play on a ball that you think, how did he get that?
Right, and then,
and then he'll boot the one right at him.
Like a routine hit to third, throws it away, or makes Steve Pierce work for it. You know, he'll three-hop
Steve
it over
Pierce
there.
Steve Pierce is unbelievable over
Steve
there.
Steve Pierce can stretch for the best of him, can't he?
He's like Sean Johnson or something. He's
Sean
a fairly limber lad, I think.
Nice. Nastia Luke that I always prefer, if we're going
well,
there.
Well, either one.
On that team.
617-779-7937. Scott's in Palmer. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Scott,
doing
good.
Great.
Good, good. Hey, let me preface what I'm going to say by, I think Mahomes, through 6 weeks of his career, looks awesome, but he's not Tom Brady yet. And in reviewing the game afterwards and the way it played out, I'm going to have to say Mahomes cost the Chiefs that game. Throwing an interception deep in his own zone that was taken back to, what, the 7-yard line.
That was the Dante Hightower interception.
Hightower and Harmon got him. He threw one. They should have scored some points
correct.
Late in the first half. You're right. So he left points
exactly.
on the board. Yeah.
Exactly. The interception into the end zone, they could have walked away with at least a field goal there.
But you got to admit,
the interception was huge.
You got to admit, you score 40 points, you usually win.
Correct.
You know, and so I'm correct. With you. He had a couple of really bad plays. I would have a hard time putting it on him because he did all he could do. I mean, especially in the second half anyway. First half, he was not great, but to score as many points as they did in the second half, their defense is awful. Like them, I don't know if their defense is worse than the Falcons or vice versa, but it's a terrible defense, and you score 40 points. I would love to know what the record is. We could probably look that up in the NFL. When you score 40 points, you got to win 95% of the game.
I would sure think so.
Of the game.
Well, they said there'd never been a game in the NFL that had ended 43-40.
They're pretty good.
Ever.
23 points over the over-under.
Yeah.
They cleared that. And that was a high over-under to begin with. But, I mean, I'm with you. Those were a couple of bad plays by Mahomes. And he's a young quarterback. Year two in the league. First year as a starter. That was his, what, seventh career start? So, yeah.
He looks great.
So, you turned him over a couple of times. But the most impressive thing to me was on the road, losing to the Patriots, primetime game. You've already thrown a couple of bad picks. What does he do? He comes back even better. He comes back and he's still taking chances. He's chucking the ball deep and put up a ton of points.
I heard Christian talking about this on Friday, I think it was. I think, and if I'm paraphrasing what Christian said, but he said Mahomes led the National Football League with yards passing out of the pocket.
That makes sense.
And he had more yards out of the pocket last night than he had in the pocket.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because they didn't get any sacks, but they did get some pressure on him, and so he was rolling out. But on the one hand, you caused a couple of turnovers doing that, but then also sort of like these broken plays, and he has some of these receivers, you know, especially Tyreek Hill with his speed, that if he gets going and he's on the same page as Mahomes, you're going to get these 75-yard type touchdown plays.
617-779-7937. Keith's on the cell phone. Hey, Keith.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Doing great.
Hey, listen, Eddie Munoz has got to take a seat. He's got to have Devers in his place.
Yes,
I agree.
He really do. He's swinging a hot bat, and his defense is not all that bad, and it showed last night.
Well, not only would I leave Devers, but I'm with Keith on this one. I would reinsert Brock Holt for Ian Kinsler and be very happy with that.
I would.
Now, yeah.
I wonder if they'll do that. So Dallas Keuchel goes tomorrow, a lefty. You know, so do you go with Devers and with Holt, two lefties? Like,
probably not.
I don't know. And so, but Devers, he had a good series. One of the few guys that had a good series last year against Houston. He's just a more of a threat at the plate than Nunez is, no matter what it is, no matter what the numbers are. I would just say he's a bigger threat at the plate. And in the field, he's got to be as good, if not better. And I know Devers isn't great at third, but Nunez is a butcher.
Yeah, I also think you got to have Christian Vasquez catching. His bat also brings you something, you know, it gives you a chance to win a game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know he had the homer against the Yankees, but I think it's kind of a wash.
Yeah, his bat is not it's not like he's an offensive force.
No, I think that one's a bit of a wash. How about so Mitch Moreland is not healthy enough to start or play the field, but he's healthy enough to hit, but then he can't run.
No.
It's like a weird kind of, I guess, what's the alternative? Because my question would be,
Ron Darling hit the nail on the head, too, when he came up, and he said, you know, if he's not healthy enough to start, if he does get on, they're not going to let him run. And
then they run Leon for him.
Well, that was just because of
the
position.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, is he worth being on the 25-man roster? Like, he seems pretty limited.
Yeah, it does seem that way. You almost wonder, and maybe they're just being extra cautious with him. You know, maybe they're thinking, okay, come Tuesday, he'll be able to play again.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if it's a long series, maybe he'll play in the field. But Pierce hasn't let him down at all, because everybody assumes, and it's just the reality, Mitch Moreland better defensively than Pierce, but Pierce has been great over there. Had Pierce struggled, we'd be looking at this Moreland thing even more.
Our research department has come through for you.
Oh, they're good back then. What a crack staff.
Losing team scoring 40 points. It's happened 14 times in the regular season. Kansas City became the 15th team.
Okay.
And 3 times in the postseason.
In the history of the NFL.
18 times in the history of the NFL has a team scored 40 and lost.
Do they have the record for team scoring 40?
All of the other games and 18.
No, I mean, I'm saying all the times a team score 40 and win, right? Like, there's got to be that number, too. I'm not trying to put too much on them. That's already a great stat. Well done, guys.
Well done, guys. Well, I mean, Keith never is happy, but did a great job there.
Never settle.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
And Kostowski will try to send everybody home happy. Which he does. What a game. What a game.
There's something to be said for understated.
Across the field to say congratulations to Patrick Mahomes.
All right, that was way over under his understated.
Maybe he was zapped.
Maybe.
Too much. Too long a game.
Top performer of the week is brought to you by Ace Ticket. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady completed 24 of 35 passes for 340 yards and a touchdown through the air, one on the ground in last night's win over the Chiefs. Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For trip and ticket information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. He had, what, 134 passing yards at the half?
Yeah.
I think it was 134.
134, and then, kind of turned it around a little bit there. Can I talk about Josh Gordon for a second, Dale?
Sure.
He is in. This guy is in. He had
By the way,
plays.
He made that catch over the middle with the hands again, and I'm thinking of Michael Irvin.
Yeah, oh yeah. Not a lot of guys can do that. And he just plucked it right out of the sky. Great throw, great catch. Here's the thing. He played more snaps in the first quarter than he did in either of the previous two games. So right away, you saw him all the time. Like before, it was he was in there for a play, then he'd jog off the field.
Right,
and you're like,
right.
When are we going to see Josh Gordon again? This time, he was out there the whole time. So Philip Dorsett.
Josh Gordon!
Philip Dorsett is the odd man out, it seems like. At least for this week, he was. Josh Gordon started with Hogan, with Edelman, with Gronk, and then with whatever running back you want, White or Michelle. So Josh Gordon, the numbers don't look, crazy. 5 catches, 42 yards. But he had a team-high 9 targets. He also drew a pass interference penalty, which he almost caught. And then it looked like he got kind of shaken up on the play. He was in the tent, out of the tent, ended up coming back.
When he
to the
ended
game.
Up in the tent, I'm thinking, oh, that's always a bad thing.
This could be it, and things have been going the right way. So, again, the stats aren't great, but I love that he was out there. I love that they were throwing to him as much as they did. And the play before Brady fumbled, the play that they had the really good coverage, he almost threw an interception. And that ball was intended for Gordon. And let's be honest, if he throws that another 5 yards, it's probably a touchdown. Gordon was behind the defender for the Chiefs, but he had to come back for the ball, actually got a hand on it to make sure it wasn't an interception. So I thought that was very promising. I think each week, now I know he had the touchdown last week, he did not have a touchdown this week, but I think he seems like a guy who gets it, and at least on the field. And so 3 weeks in, I would say it's all positive for Josh Gordon.
Yeah, he looks like, based on, they're actually letting him talk more. Late in the week, he was talking at his locker. He was talking about, I think it's his girlfriend, not his wife, right, who's here with him now. He's talking about, I guess they're living in the Foxborough area.
Yeah, it's all good.
And people are really nice to him. Yeah. He's talking about the character coach here for the Patriots and how he is very hands-on in helping, keep this thing going.
It's good. Things are looking up. I'm excited, very excited about it.
He is. If he can stay on the straight and narrow, and I'm just talking about stay on the roster.
Yeah.
If he can do that, they have got themselves a weapon.
They really do. And it's funny to think they start the year with a very, very underwhelming group. I mean, particularly at receiver, but even everywhere, you're like, okay, you got Gronk, you got White, and you got really nothing else. And now, in a matter of a couple of weeks, you return Julian Edelman, you add Josh Gordon. Sony Michel looks like a solid back to go with White, Gronk. And then whatever you get from Hogan or even Philip Dorsett becomes a bonus. So those guys go from being your number one and two receiver to your number three and four receiver. And, yeah, the offense looks pretty scary now.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Pete's out in Ohio. Hey, Pete.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
What's up,
great.
Pete?
How are you?
Hey, totally agree about Josh Gordon. That's not what I called about. But, man, if that guy can stay clean, mm-hmm. he's going to be a threat. We're mm-hmm. going to look good with him. Hey, what I do want to say is that David Price, his exit interview during or after the game yesterday, he gets it now, right? It ain't all about – he's not cracking these half-ass jokes, these silly-ass jokes. He knows he's a team player. He didn't pitch that good, and I didn't like the guy initially until I wanted him to come up and do what he did yesterday and say, look, it ain't about me. It's about the team. I just need to – he didn't get the win yesterday, did he?
No. No, he did not. Did not qualify.
He was a third of an inning short.
Yeah.
He left with the lead, but he pitched 4 2/3 innings. He doesn't get credit for the win.
He kept him in the game. He kept, you know, obviously we got to score runs.
Right.
But Cora, my God, this guy, everything he touches turns to gold. That was a great decision to keep him in, or, you know, to start him.
Start
him
again, too. Yeah.
I mean, everything this guy has done, even if we don't win or beat Houston, I like this team. I like their character. That's all I got to say, guys.
Thank you. I know it's pretty common sport in these parts to kick the crap out of David Price, but I will say this. Post game last night, he said everything as well as you could possibly say it. It was like the character coach for the Patriots scripted his post-game comments.
Now, he was pretty fired up, it seemed like, when he left the mound. Right? He was screaming
into
his
glove. Was he mad at the catcher? Because everybody's around him, and then he puts his glove up and he looks at Vasquez, and he looked like he was animatedly saying something.
I don't know. He might have been mad at the catcher. He might have been mad that he was coming out. Maybe he was mad at a previous call by the umpire. I don't know what he was mad about, but he was probably frustrated because he knew the offense finally scored some runs for him. Because that was another stat they kept going to last night was, you know, he was 0-9. His teams were 0-10 when he started in the playoffs. But they never scored runs for him. Like, you know, he just really didn't have a lot of chances. Where this is the first time they scored in the first inning for him, and this is the first time that, you know, his team had a lead. And so he knows he's one out away from getting that first win as a starter. Couldn't get it. I thought it was the right
call. He wasn't yelling at Cora.
At Cora. I think he might have just been frustrated. Like, he was
like
one
I wonder,
out away.
It was almost like he was mad about, you know, why do we call that pitch? And I'm reading way more into this than was probably there.
But he seemed upset. But the thing is, it's different than every other sport where, you know, football and hockey and basketball, if your game ends in the way that you didn't want it to, your post-game press conference is in 10 minutes. You know, whatever it is. Like, Cam Newton after the Super Bowl didn't have 2 hours to relax before he was asked questions.
And sort through in his head, okay, how do I want to respond?
And they won. So it's one of those weird things where David Price left the game not when he wanted to. He really did not pitch great, but compared to what he normally does with the Red Sox in the playoffs, it was better. And so he leaves probably kind of fired up. But then, what, 2 hours goes by until he's sitting there in front of these microphones? So then at that point, he was talking about, hey, you know, the team got to win, and that's the most important thing.
I mean, we won. That's my first team win as a starter. So it's baby steps, it's baby steps. You know, I expect to win, but I'm very happy that we won.
I mean, baby steps, you've been in the league 11 years. We're doing baby steps now. I think it's a little late for baby steps. I just don't think he can do it. I don't think he can pitch in the playoffs. And I think the bar is so low that last night became acceptable. Like, last night he was getting cheered as he was coming off the mound.
But I think part of that is the fans.
Sarcasm?
No, I don't think it's that.
Oh.
For some. Oh, well, for some it probably is.
I think it was.
I think for the majority of people, they understand that you need this guy. I mean, I disagree.
I don't think you do.
They well, especially against, if Chris Sale is.
Well, Sale, you do. No, well, against the Yankees,
they
didn't
Chris
need him.
Yeah, but you had Chris Sale, who was good against the Yankees.
Right.
You had Chris Sale was bad against this team and spent last night in the hospital.
No, he's got a stomach thing.
So it may well be that you need this guy more than you even realize.
Yeah, maybe you do. And the fans have always the fans at Fenway have always seemed to be on his side. Like, he's had other starts this year where he has left the game in the sixth inning and he gets a standing O. And you're like, what are we doing here? Like, this is supposed to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. You're allowed – I know people don't think it, but you're allowed to pitch deep into a playoff game. You can. Like, guys have done it. Guys can go 7-8.
Although it seems like nobody does anymore.
It's rare. I mean, Garrett Cole did it in the last round. Justin Verlander was not good in game one. But
Nathan Eovaldi did it last round.
Yeah. Even this one, we've seen it on this team.
Yep.
And then 4 2/3, you're like, well, he gutted it out. What do you mean gutted it out? He's healthy. He's healthy, unlike Chris Sale, who has a shoulder and apparently a stomach issue. David Price, meanwhile, we are led to believe is 100% healthy, and he goes 4 2/3, and he gives up 4 runs, which is an ERA of almost 8. Like, that is not good. The credit goes to the bats and the bullpen last night.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
Third down and 10.
Yeah.
Three-man rush, 8 covering. Brady floats one caught. Touchdown, Edelman. Perfect arc. And Julian Edelman into the end zone. 75 yards in 10 plays.
That was the touchdown pass to Julian Edelman in last night's 43-40 victory here at Gillette Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. One of the architects of that victory, James White, joins us. James had 6 rushes for 39 yards, averaging 6.5 yards per rush. He had 5 receptions for 53 yards, averaging 10.6 yards per rush. And James, by the way, is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Dartmouth Builders Supply and your local Anderson Windows dealer. Good to see you. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. What time did you get to bed?
Probably like 1 or 2, something like that.
Does it take a while after something like that to crank the body back down a little bit?
Yeah, well, just get home, relax a little bit. Sit there with my wife, my cousin, and some of his friends are here, so just kind of hung out with them for a little bit, then went to sleep.
Did you get the sense even before the game started that it could be a bit of a shootout there?
Yeah, I mean, they have an explosive offense, so for us, we knew we were going to have to score points in order to win the football game, and I mean, it just so happened to be a 43-40 game, and I mean, it was just a crazy football game. Just happy to come out here with a win.
It was pretty clear that you guys went into this game with an offensive game plan based around the run. You and Sony both ran the ball a lot. Sony had a little over 100 yards. When you see that game plan earlier in the week, do your eyes light up a little bit?
Oh, we knew we'd have opportunities in the run game. Sony ran hard. We knew when we got in space with their defenders, but we had to win those one-on-one situations and make them tackle us. So we just wanted to run hard whenever we got the ball in our hands and, just force them to tackle us and try and get as many yards at the contact.
How important was pass protection in the game? Because, you ran the ball. You had a lot of plays, really, is what it was. I mean, you scored 43 points in the game. But even the Chiefs' defense, not known for being a shutdown defense, but they are known for having some pretty good pass rushers.
Yeah, they have really good pass rushers, D4. I mean, Justin Houston didn't play last night, but D4, he's a great football player, so I mean, definitely have to keep eyes on him at all times because he can make a game-changing play at any moment. I mean, the Chiefs defense, they may give up a lot of yards or whatever, but they'll let you drive the ball down the field and force a turnover and stuff. So, I mean, they do a great job with their scheme, and I mean, we turned the ball over one time, but I mean, we just got to try to prevent those.
Did you know that it was the first time in NFL history that a team has gone an entire football game without a punt or a penalty?
No.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah, that was a positive. No penalties, yeah.
No penalties, no punts. You did have the turnover, as you said. And Tom got stripped there. Now, we were saying when Kansas City scored on the 75-yarder, and I looked at the clock and there was like 3 minutes left, I'm sitting at home watching on TV and I'm thinking, this is not a problem. Is that how you feel on the sidelines or on the field when Brady and the offense come out?
Well, for us, I mean, it's an opportunity for us to end the ball, end the game with the ball in our hands. So it's an offense trying, you know, melt the clock down a little bit and drive the ball down the field and kind of take that last shot. And we were able to give Steve an opportunity to win the game for us. He's a great kicker, and he always comes through.
Seems like this was one of the first games where it was your complete offense. You know, Edelman obviously wasn't there the first four games. Sony Michel missed the game. Josh Gordon played more this week than he did the other 2 weeks. Do you guys have that same sense where this is the most complete the offense has been?
I mean, we have a lot of guys out there, a lot of guys that can make plays, and I think Coach McDaniels does a great job of getting everybody involved. And, you know, Tom does a great job of finding guys, and as running backs, you just want to run hard, and the offensive line has been doing a great job in pass blocking and run blocking. So, I mean, it's just the more everybody's out there, the more we'll click, and I think the more we'll get better.
I think Tom had 134 yards passing at the half, but you guys were running the ball so effectively. But then you could see in the fourth quarter, the success of your running game opened up the play action so much. It seemed like every play action pass he made in the fourth quarter was wide open.
Yeah, well, you have to be balanced in this league. Can't be one-dimensional. So for us, just to get the running game going, and the better you run it, like you said, the play action are going to be there and give opportunity for Tom to make plays down the field to Gronk, Jules, Josh, Phillip, CP, whoever it is. And I mean, like I said, we played a complimentary football game, just getting everybody involved. And I think guys wanted to attack the day. We knew what we had to get done, and we just wanted to go out there and do it.
Speaking of the run game, what did you think of Tom's touchdown run?
It was pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
He was sitting there with a straight face.
Pretty elusive.
Pretty impressive. He was light on his feet and got over one defender and, you know, took the contact and got in there. I mean, they're going to drop eight people or whatever in the red zone. I mean, that's what's going to happen sometimes. And I mean, he does a great job when he gets the opportunity to find those lanes.
We were kind of half joking before we kind of came on the air. We're going to talk to you. We're going to talk to Trey. One of you is going to be in a good mood today. The other one might not be in such a good mood.
No, I mean,
a win is a win. Is that how you approach it?
I mean, a win is a win. Obviously, we have a lot to work on. I mean, it's not just defensively. We have a lot to work on offensively. I mean, those guys, they made the plays when they needed to, and like I said, they made enough plays for us to get a win.
Does it ever get to the point, I mean, not last night necessarily, but even during the season, does, you know, it's a team game, but it is also two sides of the ball where the two sides, if one side's not holding up their end of the bargain, does it ever get kind of, you know, snippy, I guess, between the two sides?
No, for us, as an offense, we just focus on what we have to get done. I think Coach McDaniels does a great job saying, like, when we're on the sideline, I mean, you're not watching the game. We're making adjustments and getting prepared for our next series. And we just try and play a complimentary game. And when they get stops, you know, we go down and score points to get a turnover. We try and score points, just help one another and keep that balance.
Did it feel that little swing pass out of the backfield was open every time you ran it last night?
It was open the majority of the time. And, I mean, when I get one-on-one situations, I just try and make the guy miss, protect the football, and get as many yards as I can. And, like I said, Coach was stressing it all week. When you get one-on-one situations, you got to win. So that was my mindset.
One of the big changes this year was Nate Solder out after so many years and Trent Brown in. And it doesn't seem like, you know, the offensive line has missed a beat with him.
I mean, they've been doing a great job, like I said, in pass protection and running the ball. I mean, they've all been out there together each and every game. So the more they're out there, the more they click and the more they get comfortable with one another. And like I said, they'll continue to improve, and they've been doing a great job for us.
Even in college, have you ever been involved in a game that was like 43-40?
No, I don't believe. I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Yeah, I'm sure it's an exciting game for the fans, and I mean, it was a great atmosphere. It's a fun game, though.
I mean, you guys, of course, don't concern yourself with things like this. But the over/under was 60. Let's just say you blew by that.
We went way over that.
A lot of good running backs in the league. I know, you know, you're probably not focused on it on the sideline. You guys are taking care of your own business. But Kareem Hunt, who had a monster game last year against you guys, and then last night, he seems to be one of those top backs as well.
Oh, he's a good football player. Like I said, he can catch the ball, and he runs hard, and it's tough to bring that guy down. And I said he's continuing to improve off last year. He had a good year last year, and you can tell he's still hungry and trying to go out there and play. So he's still playing hard.
The first order of business today, I assume, is look at the film from last night, make corrections, do whatever you have to do. When will you start to look at stuff for Chicago?
Today we'll get ready for Chicago. I mean, they've been playing well this season.
That Khalil Mack is pretty good.
He's another good pass rusher. You're going to see a lot of good pass rushers in this league, and definitely got to keep an eye on that guy, and their defense has been playing good, so be a good challenge for us.
In your first road game in like a month. You guys have been home forever.
Yeah, we definitely need to get a road win too, so that'd be big for us.
Congratulations on the win yesterday or last night here. It was fun for all of us to watch it, and good luck. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thanks. All right,
thanks,
James White joining us on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.